I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Zone Time, people. I'm Julian. Avery's here. Sam is here. Tic-Tac-Tomar is here, and some new digs. You finally completed the move. Congratulations from one part of town to another.
Yeah, it was cool. It was awesome. Have a nice wall back there. Michael Bunting. I don't know.
No.
Whatever. Just back there, so that's awesome.
Yeah, if it wasn't for your mic stand, it's covering the G. Otherwise, we would have just assumed you have gotten a fake Bunting jersey.
that's Michael Bunting when he comes back from Scarborough. If you call him, it's Michael Bunting.
Okay, we gotta roll through a bunch of topics here. Normally we like to carry on and go an hour and a half, all that. We've been given directives because of some time issues from the people at Yahoo that we gotta roll a little quicker than normal. Not for any reason, just because other people have stuff to do. But send your complaints to those at Yahoo. No, I'm kidding. We love Yahoo. Quick poll for everybody. Show of hands, or just say yes or no, if you bothered to watch NHL All-Star Weekend. Okay, Avery has his hand up.
I watched like 2 minutes of the skills competition on Friday against my will.
Oh, against your will.
Yeah.
I saw Sarah Nurse do the literally deke out Shesterkin, and then I saw all the
He just like threw himself afterwards on his back.
Yeah. And then I saw that the Leafs were getting the All-Star game, so then I saw a lot of people complaining about that. And besides that, it's not worth it. And then I saw a lot of people. I saw Trevor Zegras tweet the yawn emoji.
I did, too.
Where's the lie? So you know,
man,
it's pretty brutal when you have like one of your emerging star players just trash it basically as much as he can.
No, I watch both days in full because I'm an All-Star game junkie. I will watch everything from start to end. I watch All-Star Friday and Saturday, and All-Star Friday, like skills competition, my gripe was, why are we going to different events before completing the first one? That made no sense. Why are we not ending events in their entirety and then continuing? I don't understand that. No one did.
It doesn't make sense. It's like starting this podcast and then breaking for 5 seconds and then go to the broadcast and then like, oh, we're going to start that for 5 minutes. We're going to go do In the Mentions with Obar. And then it's like,
listen,
oh,
we
no,
would make that work way better than they did.
Probably.
Absolutely, we would.
You know what's so funny? TV thing.
Obar, go ahead.
So funny for me is that during the game, the actual game, there was a coach's challenge for an offside.
There
and
was.
I bet Gary Bettman thought that was so funny. He's like, hey, it's the All-Star game, but they're actually going to challenge it. Hey, isn't this funny? Hey, look. It's like actual hockey in the NHL at the All-Star game, but it doesn't matter. The score is going to be like 17 to 15, but we're going to challenge this goal because it doesn't matter, but it's funny because it's in the All-Star game. Hey, it's funny. Hey, you see, Toronto, you get the All-Star game. Like, just be cool. I don't understand, like, how hard it is. Just be cool.
Gosh. You're asking hockey players to be cool, especially now. It hasn't been, I can't think of a worse time in human history to be a hockey player, because people just assume you're void of personality or a crappy person. Am I wrong or am I wrong?
I thought it was so funny too how you're seeing on the bench during the events, you're seeing Kevin Weeks and Emily Kaplan trying their best with these guys to have fun at questions and answers. And they're still so still. Like, it's the All-Star game. You can laugh. You can make a joke when they're talking to the reporters. Like, we're not talking about Game 7 of the Cup Finals. Laugh a little. It's All-Star weekend, guys. Come on.
Nah, Bo Horvat couldn't laugh. He had a sniper dot pointed at him from Lou. you say one bad thing about the Islanders. Whoa. You are happy about this. You're happy about everything. You say anything bad about the changes.
Why are we pulling out? Why pull out gun in here? Like what gun is?
To Avery's point, man. To Avery's point, like again, this is a moment where we're supposed to show off the stars. We're supposed to show off the league and the game and how fun it is. The only thing I saw that made me legitimately, like genuinely smile was a picture of like Brady and Matthew Tkachuk with Crosby, and then someone did the side by side with them as kids. That was wholesome. That was cool. But besides that, it's like, it's just another day in the league, man.
I did enjoy the clip of Brady Tkachuk doing a live interview while Mitch Marner was literally talking over him to Eric Carlson.
That was funny. Yeah, Sarah Nurse was the best part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. No one mentioned Connor McDavid going perfect in the accuracy challenge in the first round before losing to Nazem Kadri.
I mean,
People don't care. I remember back when, oh my gosh, oh, Sam's going to get so mad at me. Was it Daniel? It was Daniel. Daniel, right? It was Daniel Sedin, right?
I think so.
Yes. Yes, it was Daniel who just like was rifled it. That was cool. Now it's just like, Svechnikov, who did he beat in the fastest skater? Everyone's like,
Kevin Fiala, I think.
Like, the apathy, man. People don't care about the All-Star game. That's a problem. And I don't understand why they don't care. I don't get it. And now you're going to put the All-Star game in Toronto where they can rip on it even more?
People really need to reconsider. Like, it's such a chicken and egg thing. Everyone's like, who cares about the All-Star game? It's like, okay, but the whole point is you don't care about it because they've made it such an unappealing format and unappealing event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know what? I would rather have the players straight up be like Kirill Kaprizov and be like, I don't care about being here. Like, he fully just owned it instead of, you know, not even committing to not wanting to be there.
That's true. He legit switched out of an event, right?
That was so funny.
That's crazy. Oh my God. Like, he generally just did not care. Could you imagine if we were like watching like the NBA All-Star Weekend and like some like dunker we were all waiting to see was like, I don't want to do the dunk contest, and just switched out like minutes before he's supposed to go? That would be insane.
But those are elite NBA, they make those events appealing. They make it fun.
Oh,
the Pro Bowl games in Vegas this week. And the players who were taking part were all laughing and enjoying it and having a good time. They wanted to be there. They had fun.
Yeah, they look like they're having
a lot
of fun.
The NHL can't touch anything that they're not even close. Even as we speak, there are trade events happening all over the NBA and people are going nuts. Every year, NBA fans look for the big trade. Stars are moved every single year. And what do we get in the NHL? Oh, we get a conditional seventh. We get some salary retention, right? There's nothing. No one can
traded their captain.
Bo Horvat.
What else do you want?
And he just got extended by the New York Islanders.
And he got 8x8.5.
It's too long and too much money, said Lou Lamoriello.
Like, Lou, you know you signed that, right? You know that was your, you know, you're the reason why that happened, right? Like, no one else did that but you.
Damn, like, I can actually say this about Lou. You knew what it was when you signed up.
But the thing I don't understand is that, like, he says this in an interview, and minutes later, it's on Twitter. What are you being so mysterious about? Oh, it's too much. Just tell us the flipping deal, man. We're going to find out anyway.
Like,
Cap Friendly exists. Like, I don't understand why.
Even better for Lou.
So mysterious about it.
And even better for Lou, minutes after that was announced, Kyrie Irving got traded. So, like, not everyone in New York is going to really care about a Bo Horvat extension anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez, like
it was announced that Kyrie was traded. I should mention it's been updated that the trade apparently might need a third team. And some people say the Raptors might end up being that third team. It might be the third team. They might be the third team in that deal. You know, anyway. Yes. Last week we did the show and the trade was announced just as we were recording it. And we had thoughts on that trade. How do we feel about the trade now that Bo Horvat has been extended for 8 years and $8.5 million?
I jumped the gun. I withdraw my stance. I jumped the gun. I thought about it afterwards because, like, if Lou had it's all about, I think for me, like, the timing of it is like the greatest weapon. And again, I was very confused as to why the Canucks made the trade then and not wait until March. And for the Islanders, it's like, yes, they make this trade. You know, they don't give up a lot. Again, I'm not privy to like the Islanders organization, but like on paper, it doesn't look like a lot, or it doesn't look like what we expected a Horvat trade would look like. And hey, you know, the fact that it's not guaranteed to make the playoffs, there's an opportunity where they can flip them again. So I was like, that in itself puts the Islanders in a pretty sick position. Now, I don't know. I don't know, man. Because I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? The Islanders play a system that takes away from offense, and Horvat's shooting at 22%. So it may not be sustainable long term. And instead of waiting, you extended him. So you might finish this year well. Maybe next year might not be too well, and the year after that, and the year after that, and there's no movement clause. And I think about it, and I'm like, you know what? I take back my fleece stance. I don't think it was that much of a fleecing, but it's an interesting deal, that's for sure.
I gotta say, we gotta shout out Bo Horvat one time because he gets himself out of a situation in Vancouver that was getting more volatile by the second. He gets offloaded to the New York Islanders. Okay, fine. And he gets himself an $8.5 million deal before he even steps on the ice and plays for the Islanders. I kept thinking, like, man, like, why would these teams do this? But I got to start thinking more about Bo Horvat, man. He secured the bag for a team, and he hasn't even played for them yet. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He could have played games, right? And the Islanders, you're right, they could have easily said, you know what, man? We're not in the position to make the playoffs. We're going to offload you to another team. Or they keep him and they try to make the playoffs. And as you mentioned earlier, maybe that shooting clip goes down from like 22% to like 15. And maybe that affects his stats. And maybe he only gets like 6 years at like a completely different deal. For Bo Horvat, you know what? Instead of focusing on the Islanders and the Canucks and who wins that trade or who doesn't win that trade, give a moment to Bo Horvat, y'all. He secured the bag. He secured the bag. He got out of a terrible situation in Vancouver, and he gets himself paid. I can't be mad at that.
And you know, we know in pro sports, you know, nothing is guaranteed. I am very much on the side of players getting as much money as they can before their career ends. Go and get your money. Go and get your $8 million. Go and get your 9.25. I will always support athletes getting as much money as they can, no matter what the situation is. I will always be on their side.
And you get Lou Lamoriello, who, yes, is very notorious for not releasing contract details, but you get him on record being like, man, this is too long and too much money. Omar, your intentions about fleecing were towards the wrong subject. You should have said that Bo Horvat fleeced the Islanders.
It was very...
He got paid.
I think I said last week that I agreed with Omar that it was a fleecing, and I think I also walked that back over the last week. I think the overall point was I thought the Canucks should have gotten more for his production this year.
Yeah.
But I'm super happy that he got paid. I think he deserves to get paid. I'm always happy when a player gets a massive contract, but I am so happy the Canucks are not paying that contract.
Yeah, I gotta say.
No.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for Bo Horvat, but I look at that trade. I'm like, that's a lot of money for a guy whose ceiling is as a 60-point player as of now, and that might be his ceiling for the rest of his career. But Bo Horvat, you know what, man? I'm going to give you a thumbs
up. It might work out really well. Matt Barzal is saying like he hasn't felt a spark with another player like this in a long time. So if that, like, if that gets Matt Barzal going, that deal is going to be worth it.
Oh, that's
Barzal
really good.
Needs something, man. Matt Barzal is an 80-point player who can't hit 80 points.
Yeah.
Like, you watch him play and the skill is just there. And like, if it's Horvat that ignites that, that'd be sick. That'd be sick for him, sick for the organization, sick for everyone there.
Avery, do you have any final thoughts on the Islanders before we discuss the trade? It's not the trade, but the playoff format.
I will just say about Lou Lamoriello, it's still so funny after all these years how Lou's trying to hide contract terms. Like, dude, you work in hockey. You don't work for Fort Knox. This is government secrets. Like, why is media still the enemy or still them? I don't understand this. Like, you work in pro sports. Like, what's up with this secrecy still from Lamoriello? I just don't get this.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Cap Friendly exists. Let fans live on Cap Friendly.
Honestly. Frank Saravalli, CJ, Dreger, LeBron, all these people have people.
I read like the first tweet. Yeah, I read the first tweet, and the tweet right after was Friedman saying Horvat 8 times 8.5. I was like, okay.
Friedman. I forgot to mention Friedman. Anyway, it's a bit weird.
Oh my God.
But guys, let's be careful here. We are talking about the Islanders. I don't want anyone coming on and being all like, hey, you guys need an Islanders expert to talk Islanders to you. We were able to get through this segment, and I'm really proud of us. We didn't need an Islanders expert to talk to us about the New York Islanders. Love you, New York Islanders fans. You guys are great. Time to talk about Sidney Crosby. And I'll throw Nathan MacKinnon in this too. Some NHL players during All-Star Weekend were asked for their thoughts about the current playoff format that they're in, which sees the kind of divisional format that we have, and a lot of people want that 1-8 thing back, you know. And
they were asked for their thoughts, and they gave up facts.
They
not
did.
FACTS, FAX, 100% accurate. Like, what they said was so freaking true. And if I don't know what it will take, I don't know what it will take. If you have Sidney Crosby saying it, I don't know what it will take, man. Like, oh God, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've said this on different platforms, but isn't this a good way to show that the player voice has something in the NHL? If the league actually listens to those players and does something, and if they don't, then doesn't that show how little it matters? If like, it's one thing if like a fourth line player said something, it's like, all right, fine, whatever. I'm not gonna listen to you. Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, those are two of the most prominent voices who spoke out against about the format. Like, I don't know. Like, you got to listen. You got to at least have that conversation if you're Gary Bettman or Bill Daly or somebody. You got to come meet in the middle and figure that out. And I get it that, you know, I saw the Gord Miller, shout out Gord Miller, legend of the game. He put out that tweet thread about how maybe we got to look at changing the number of games and how certain teams, the amount of number of games between one team versus another and all that. Like, if it means we can get to 1-8, I'm okay with that. Like, I would like for them to, I don't know. I get maybe, or maybe it's just still going to be difficult. Like, it's either I want more Flames and Oilers games or I want 1-8. I hate the fact that maybe we might have to choose. I don't want to have to choose. Give me both.
Honestly.
Why not both?
Like, for me, there is no benefit to doing well in the regular season. Maybe it depends on like what division you were in and what conference, but like that's what the main takeaway for me is that, again, like, yes, I'm making it about the Leafs. The Leafs have been a top five team for the majority of the season. And we're facing Tampa. There is nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. That's a problem. Like, it's unfortunate that, like, it hasn't happened this year, but, like, there have been other years where, like, a team that's, like, first in the East or, like, first in the division will face a wild card team, and that wild card team is pretty good. Florida almost lost to Washington last year. It was so close. Yes, they got swept in the second round, but, like, they almost lost. So it's like there's no benefit to doing well in the regular season. And I feel like we need to go back to that. Like, it goes beyond the whole, like, playoff matchup and stuff. There's no incentive to do well in the regular season. That's why teams just get into a position and they coast. Sorry, there's no benefit of doing well in the regular season in the Atlantic Division. I think we mentioned before, like, on previous episodes, like, the Pacific is nuts, and in this aspect of the Central is nuts. But like in the Eastern Conference, like a lot of it is set in stone, and I don't know, maybe is that the trade-off that the league wants? Like they're okay with like matchups being set in stone just to have them happen in the playoffs and get these rivalries. But like, I don't know. Like I'd say over the last like couple of years, the team the Leafs hate the most are the Jets. And the only reason that happens is because of the Canadian division. So it's like,
yeah,
you can find other ways to get rivalry and hatred between teams. It doesn't have to be this forced divisional format.
Okay, I just need to mention something here. I just went on the NHL website, and understand this is, we're recording this in the evening of Monday, February 6th. If you go to the standings page and you click the conference tab and you sort everyone, so you show the conference where you'll see the 1-8 and all that, and you sort everyone by points percentage, and you look at the matchups you get, as of right now, you would get Tampa Bay versus Toronto in the first round. I just want that said. And Tampa Bay would be a higher seed. So Tampa would have home ice advantage. I just want that said. I'm so sorry. Which is kind of funny considering that right now Toronto funny would for who? Have home ice advantage.
Funny for who?
Funny for me.
For us.
No, I like one through eight, but I do think that is a very funny quirk in all of this. And it is not lost on me that it seems like a lot of people who are really complaining about that format beyond players is people from Toronto who are kind of bored at the fact that they know who they're going to play in like 2 months' time in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the first round. Like, but that being said, I get it. 1-8 is associated with a lot of my memories as a fan, and like I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the switch. I think if it makes the playoffs better, in fact, I'll go so far as to say I would rather 1-16, regardless of conference. I would rather that.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
That'd be sick. That'd be amazing. But is the NHL going to do that anytime soon? Probably not. Nope. But it's funny. As of now, remember, as of now, it's totally possible. By the time this comes out on Tuesday, it looks different. But as of right now, Tampa has a better points percentage than Toronto. And both teams would play against each other in the first round if we went off points percentage at this moment in time. I just want that said.
I feel like 1-8 is also much easier to explain to somebody who is a newer fan or doesn't get like I want a system where I explain to somebody what a wild card is. Like, people can understand instantly. 1-8, okay, cool. 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7. Once you help sell somebody, they're a wild card team. I've got people telling me, like, what the hell's a wild card? Like, if I explain to you what a wild card is, you have a flawed system, I feel.
I don't even know if you have to really explain what a wild card is in the NFL.
I don't feel like
you have to do that much. I don't know. I mean, I don't feel I have to do that in baseball, or I don't know why I've never had to do that in the NHL period. But I mean, if you have to do that in the NHL, like that's very interesting. I don't know. It seems like we're all in agreement. We would much rather see the 1-8 come back, and NHL, get on it. Seriously. Like, I don't know. What could you imagine if Gary Bettman or Bill Daly listened to this podcast?
You never know.
This is one of the second times, like one of the second times a star has said, like, hey, this thing happens in games and we should, or in the league and we should stop. McDavid talked about the shootout being sucking. And that's McDavid. That's McDavid of the Connor variety.
We should actually do another episode where we map out if the players got what they wanted, what would the NHL look like? Like, if we take every single commentary, or maybe over the last, like, 2-3 years of stuff that they said sucks, and we changed it, like, what would the NHL look like?
There would be 31 teams, and the Leafs would not be one of them.
Oh, my God.
That's what every player would say.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to our final topic of the day. Trade deadline red flags. You know, the trade deadline is in about a month, less than a month from now. There's some guys out there. We know last year, a couple years ago, guys like Ben Chiarot were getting offloaded for first round picks. I'm sure people in Toronto are hoping they get someone like Ryan O'Reilly or is Vladimir Tarasenko someone you would want? I don't know if you'd want Vladimir Tarasenko. Maybe Ryan O'Reilly for sure. But is there like a player out there who is getting a lot of attention that maybe you're like, I don't know if I want my team to be getting that player. I don't know if people should be offloading first round picks for this guy. Or we want to go through some red flags. You know, like we know how people are like, hey, you spot a green flag or a red flag in a person. What about for the trade deadline?
So the Steve Dangle podcast has talked about this.
Who's that guy?
And I and I strongly agree because I'm seeing a lot of Leafs fans talk about it. Ryan O'Reilly would be cool in theory, but you can't ignore the context in that he's coming off a foot injury. Now, I have a very short-term memory. No, I don't have a short-term memory. I remember a lot of things. And I also remember that, you know, the Leafs traded for Nick Foligno to help toughen the team and all that type of stuff. And he was injured or he got hurt or, I don't know, he aggravated a back injury or whatever. And then he wasn't good, unplayable even. Or if you did play him, was noticeable. And I know what Ryan O'Reilly has done. He won the Conn Smythe the year that the Blues won the Cup. Like,
he's a really good center.
Right?
One of the best two-way forwards in the game. It was our 200-foot forwards in the game.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the dude, man. And I really don't know I don't know what the price is going to be. I know a lot of people are saying they're like, oh, well, that teams are going to use the Bo Horvat price to compare. I don't believe that for a second. I think they're going to say, okay, well, cool. Well, that's them, but it's March 2nd. So let's change things up. So I don't know. I know I'm very wary of who we give up the first and the prospects for. And I'm not sure if I want to do that for Ryan O'Reilly. So that would be my red flag. Nothing against him as a player, but just the context of what's going on. I would be nervous about it. I could completely see the scenario of like he comes back. I don't know, like the foot didn't heal properly, or maybe there's some discomfort. It impacts his skating and impacts his ability. And then then I'm here in April crying again. So
I feel like you're coming from a place of fear, Omar.
Oh, what gives you that idea?
Man, my flag is first round picks. And this year of all years, man, look, not everyone is Julian Brisebois. Not everyone's the Tampa Bay Lightning. You don't need to throw in that unprotected first round pick if you don't have to. This draft is supposed to be deep. This draft is supposed to have a lot of high quality players. I'm totally cool if teams say, you know what, you're not worth that first round pick, especially if you find yourself in a position where you're sort of trying to figure out if you're a playoff team or not. If you have to ask that question, if you are, I don't know if it's worth throwing up that first round pick. I get it. You know, maybe you're not in a position where you can truly tank for Connor Bedard and anyone else in that kind of threshold, like an Adam Fantilli or Leo Carlson. But if this draft is as deep as everyone says it's going to be, hold on to that first round pick, man. Or at the very least, if you really feel you got to do it, protect it. Protect yourself before you wreck yourself. Don't be like the Florida Panthers.
I was literally just about to bring them up. Like, yes. There are teams where it's like, are we a playoff team or are we not? But it's also, are we a win a couple of rounds playoff team or are we we're going all the way to the final? And Florida, man, they went nuts. They traded everything. And now Montreal might get Bedard because of freaking Florida.
I mean, so, if anything, if they were to get Bedard, they might not get it with the Panthers pick, in all fairness. So if they get Bedard, they could get Bedard in like another top 15 pick if it works out that way. They might also just miss out on them completely and maybe their picks are like 7-8 next to each other.
Who knows?
Two top 10 picks ain't bad.
Yeah. Don't lie to yourself. Just know who you are. Avery, you know what I'm talking about. Right?
Know yourself. Do we have any more red flags that teams should look out for ahead of the next month's trade deadline?
Yeah, if you're trading for Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews at $10.5 million.
Hey. If you're taking on that whole salary, man, You must have cap space. You have to. I mean, Carolina has a little over 10 million cap space, actually.
Oh my god.
Yeah, cap cap friendly. No, so
that's not what I thought of. Talk amongst
yourselves. Wait, what were you thinking of?
What did you find? Omar?
Because when you said cap space. Oh, okay. Because I always hear
what were you thinking?
Because I always hear people say, like, oh, the Seattle Kraken has so much cap space. Well, and I was like, wait, they have cap space for the good this year. Oh my god. Are they gonna make that like huge deal out of nowhere? But like, no, they only have like, according to Cap Friendly, they have 2.3 right now in current cap space, and they'll have about 3.6 at the deadline. Cap Friendly is your best friend now and also around the trade deadline. Don't screenshot. Cap Friendly, actually give them credit. They're a great site.
I also want to shout out Hart Levine from Puckpedia as well. They're very helpful. I've asked them for help a lot of times. I got to shout out Hart. Cap Friendly deserves a lot of praise, but you know, I also got to shout out Puckpedia too. Basically anyone who takes the time to help people out in these internet streets, especially on hockey Twitter, with regards to salary cap and CBA stuff, they green flags for them. Those people deserve all the green flags.
Green flags, for sure.
Absolutely.
And they're mentioning red flags. I want to mention a red flag here. It's Joel Edmondson. I've seen a lot of teams interested or, you know, rumors around Joel Edmondson.
Damn, okay.
It's like, if you're, I've said before, if you're in the Oilers, that is not your guy. Jacob Chychrun is your guy. You want to win now? You want to tell people you're serious about winning this year? Go and get Jacob Chychrun. That is your guy. Do what you gotta do as Omar's house falls on him. Do what you gotta do today.
A lot of mercy, Jesus.
Like Michael Irvin once said, what are you gonna do to win today? Don't let people take food off your table, Ken. Go and get Jacob Chychrun today.
With your chest. Yes,
you should have finished the whole rant to be like, nobody believes in you. Also, because Joel Edmondson was... Yeah. Oh, sorry. You go ahead, Omar. I'll make my point after.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, like, Avery's not wrong. Like, if there's ever a team, man, it's Connor McDavid. You should be going for it every year. It's Connor McDavid. And he's having an incredible year again. Like, geez, man. Like, don't go for the okay option, the option that may work. Go for the hit. Go for the surefire trade that's gonna make the team better. You add Chychrun to that blue line, man. Oh my god. Holy, that's a different team. So yeah, I agree.
There's just weird apprehension when it comes to trading Philip Broberg. Like, Broberg will be a good NHLer consistently in 2 or 3 years. You need a guy who will be that stud right now. It's all about, you know, the future. The franchise should be saying right now, who cares about 2027 or 2028? You should be concerned about winning a cup right now, not in 5 or 6 years. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Ken might care about 2027 because McDavid might be in Toronto.
Oh,
sorry.
When Austin Tempe?
You mean when Austin Matthews might be in New York?
I was going to say.
No. You want to be that guy?
Y'all think the Leafs can afford both of them?
You want to be that guy?
How does this math work?
No.
How does this math work? I just want Omar to explain the math.
Because Tavares' deal will expire, and then he'll do the Jason Spezza and resign.
He's a great person.
And then he'll know. Listen, McDavid will go to Kyle and Kyle will say, listen, man, we want you to stay as the captain, but we want McDavid. Can you come back on League Men? And Tavares will say,
on League Men?
Of course, for sure.
Are you?
And then, yes.
You guys,
yes,
we're just literally 100%. Watching Omar write fanfic in real time.
Yes. Yes.
You know, my guy has his team ready mapped out. McDavid and he has Matthews on the same line and everyone else on the team is at League Men. That's exactly how that has to work.
Fantasy hockey in real life, 100%.
Turn the McDavid PS5 off.
In the middle.
Do you know how you sound right now?
I'm so good.
Of course, I know how I sound. I sound completely insane. However, I'm also a Leafs fan. So is it valid? I think so.
Turn the PS5 off.
Who else is playing on this team?
Yes.
McKinnon and Vlar and Tyler Seguin. Avery's a coach. I'm Carlton.
Did you just say Tyler Seguin?
And there's just no there's yeah, no cap. There's no salary cap. We abolish the salary cap.
There's no cap. There's no cap at all. Gary walks up to us and says, "You know what? You know what, Toronto? You've gone through so much. You will have the salary cap does not exist for 24 whole months. Do whatever. Go on. That's what he gives us. He gives us the gold do-rag and says, go on, spend. Go on.
And this man said, I'm the head coach.
Yo, he did, I bet you'd revive Wayne Gretzky's career too. And give him an adamantium skeleton and make him play on League Men, huh? Is that what you're gonna do?
No, it would actually be Mario Lemieux with the Super Soldier Serum. Thank you very much. And he has the shield and everything, and he uses it on the forecheck, and then he sends people against the boards, passes it to Ray Bourque. And then passes it to Eric Lindros, who passes it to McDavid, and then passes it to Matthews, and then scores. And then on the other end of the ice, Matthews waves at Andrei Vasilevskiy and says, "Hey, we did it." And then I get brought to the ice and I hold the Stanley Cup. End story. Okay.
The only other point I wanted to make with Joel Edmondson, who I think, yes, I understand throwing the farm at for him. Wow. Is he really going to be this year's Ben Chiarot? Our team's really going to throw first at him. That being said, surprising. I think if you're not doing that, you just want him on the cheap. Maybe he could be a good depth defenseman to have. I don't know if you need to throw a first round pick at him, but hey, if you're Kent Hughes, I can understand why. Also, because I mentioned Joel Edmondson, I have to mention my very favorite stat to mention with Joel Edmondson. And that is Joel Edmondson was on the Omar smiling. Joel Edmondson was on the winning side of the Canadians coming back from a 3-1 deficit at the series and that game when the Leafs lost to a Zamboni driver. Joel Edmondson was on the winning side of both of those games. So no wonder Omar is afraid of him.
I'm surprised Omar didn't say for his goaltender it would be David Ayers.
One of these days, no. Omar's just going to like exit out of the show while we're recording. He's just going to vanish.
Yeah.
He's going to leave the meeting.
Good.
I'm gonna be completely honest. I forgot that happened. You're absolutely right. He was on both team drops. You're absolutely right.
He was on both of them. He was on both of them teams.
I was thinking about it. I was like, oh my god, yeah, he was on both of those teams. Jeez,
man, we're coming up on the 3-year anniversary of David Ayers. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Question for Sam. Actually,
I'm scared.
Because like okay, so the Canucks trade Horvat, but like who's next? Like who are the red or green flags for who's gonna get moved?
Literally Canucks, everyone like, except Pettersson, Hughes, and Miller. Besser.
Except who and who?
Pettersson, Hughes, and Miller.
All right. Besser, yeah. Besser's agent is talking to teams. I wonder if that could be a trade that comes out of nowhere. He's going to Pittsburgh.
I think so.
That's my prediction. I wouldn't be surprised.
Pittsburgh?
Okay. Pittsburgh always gets these players. It happens all the time. It would not surprise me. They always get these players. Always.
Okay, let's clip that so that way when it happens. When it happens, we can say Omar was right. And that's gonna do it for today's edition of Zone Time, people. Nothing was broken. We got through it and another great show was done. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. Subscribe to the podcast however you listen to podcasts, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's through a podcatcher of some sort, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. Check out everyone's content wherever they have that up, whether it's the Third Emission Podcast, whether it's the broadcast, whether it's in the mentions. You know, we got a lot of stuff cooking as well. So we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. For everybody, I'm Julian saying so long. Peace.